You know, all this talk about decay does remind me of a song.
Yay!
Yeah!
What happened to my apple? It's going through a change. Day by day, it's looking more spotted and strange. Look how old and moldy it's gotten. Blech! It went from ripe to rotten. Decay. Decay. In nature, it happens that way. While you were dozing, it was decomposing. Decay. It got icky and icky and icky and icky and yicky and yucky and smelly and sticky. It went from red and tasty to gross and gooey. It went from fresh to peewy. Decay, decay. In nature, it happens that way. While you were
losing, decay, the topic of our day, our moral decay. You're listening to KPPP LPFM. This is Cindy Gomez-Shump.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shump.
Nemo Cicados.
And also we have a special guest in the studio today. You want to introduce yourself?
Okay. Avi Blackmore. Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
this
Avi.
This is our show on moral decay. You're listening to KPPP LPFM. We're broadcasting on Live 365. Soon you'll be able to find us on your airwaves at 88.1 FM. And our last show, we were talking about, what were we talking about, dude?
Ball Buster.
Was it the Ball Buster?
Well, then Trump came after that.
Oh, yes. We did a whole show on Trump. He doesn't deserve it, but we have to address just the insanity of Trump, which is one of the topics. He's going to be in this show today.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately. But he's going to be here.
Wait, what does Donald Trump have to do with the dental hygiene?
Well, we're going to be talking about moral decay.
Oh, you mean I brought all these mouthwash and toothpaste samples for nothing?
Yeah, yes, I'm sorry.
I need to read those messages more closely.
No, we're talking about the country's moral decay. This is something that is on the minds of a lot of conservatives. And I want to broach the subject on today's show because I've seen a lot of things that kind of scare me in the news lately. And I wanted to talk with my invited guest, Avi Blackmore, as well as my faithful sound man, Duke Gomez-Shemp.
Duke Gomez-Shemp on the soundboard.
And my oldest child, Nemo.
Yep.
So what we're going to talk about in terms of the moral decay of this country is first, well, it may sound a little absurd.
If I might.
Yes.
I was just thinking about what you, the whole concept of our country having a moral decay.
Yeah.
You've mentioned in the intro that it's often a topic that's popular in conservative circles.
Yes, it's on the time.
How the country's morals are decaying.
Mm-hmm.
I have, of course, no patience for their blather on such things because, generally speaking, the conservative approach to morality is one that I find... See, calling it simplistic, I think, would be overly charitable. I think that it's problematic that conservatives in this country have staked mental claim to the word and the concept of morality. You know, they're always, well, almost always, the political figures, the speakers, the writers who are talking about morals.
Yes.
And liberal and progressive people in this country often shy away from the word because, wrongly, I think, they associate the word morality with conservatism. And I'm just going to say right off the bat that I think
that's
a mistake. Plucky? That's one way to put it. Yeah. I would say that morality properly should define how we treat other people in such a way that promotes well-being and avoids doing harm.
Well, that sounds very...
And the conservative definition of morality, from where I sit, appears to be upholding the rules that reinforce the existing social hierarchy and suppressing those urges, those actions which they view as either threatening to that social hierarchy or violating a sort of sense of purity.
Yeah, there is some sort of weird thing with, and in religious, all sorts of religious, here mostly Judeo-Christian religious beliefs are pushed on society.
If I might, coming from a Jewish background, I might say Christian. Judeo-Christian is not a thing.
Okay. Thank you for correcting me. And why don't we talk about our backgrounds? Because I think I've mentioned this before on other shows. I will be honest. I've said I was raised as a Catholic. I also come from a colonized people who were not obviously Catholic before colonization. So my views are very, I think that we have a mandate as colonized people to know a lot more about the religious beliefs of the people that colonized us and Christianized us. And yet we're still looked down upon. So that's where my background comes from. What about yours?
Well, like I said, I was raised Jewish, Reformed Jewish. My father's a rabbi, actually.
Okay.
The Jewish experience from the diaspora and from the long centuries of exile from the homeland and from living in as strangers in any land we lived in, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's not the same as being colonized.
Right.
It is a different kind of outsider's perspective. It's
but very much an outsider's perspective, nonetheless.
Yeah, it's less the perspective of outsiders came to our home and took away our power structures and took away our power and enforced their way on us. And more, we were thrown out of our home and forced to wander the world for centuries, millennia, actually. And as a result, no matter where we went, we were strangers,
right,
in that land, even if we had lived there for generations, centuries. Russian Jews, Hungarian Jews, Spanish Jews, Indian Jews, Chinese Jews, they went everywhere,
right.
They were always still Jews and thus not quite assimilated.
You know, that sounds a lot the way that Mexicans have been displaced, because they're indigenous people to this continent and have been for tens of thousands of years. And yet we're always told to go back where we come from. It's a weird thing.
Especially when you have people in the Southwest of America saying, you Mexicans should go back to where you came from. And I'm sitting here thinking, wait a second. You mean the place that they were living since before white people lived there? Because that was Mexican territory until just, 160, 170 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just saw a map, showing that it's only the Southwest people in the original territories that say that to Mexicans.
Go back to where you came. We came from right here. We were here before you were. Well, with the... as far as morality goes, though, since you brought up Judeo-Christian, I know why people say that. It's because if you just glance really quick while you're squinting, Jewish morality looks kind of like Christian morality because you have the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Although the details of how they're interpreted is very different.
Okay.
They share a chunk of scripture.
Right.
The so-called Old Testament. That's the Hebrew scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
with some unusual editing by the later Christians,
right,
in a few places like Job, but that's...
In the original Tanakh, is it the same number of books as the Old Testament?
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I know the ones that were in my Tanakh, but I don't remember if all of those are necessarily considered canonical by the Catholic Church.
Right.
And then, of course, you got the Orthodox mm-hmm. Church, who had a slightly different perspective. And then there's the Protestants. And then there's the very, I don't want to say obscure, but sort of off to the side branches mm-hmm. of Christianity mm-hmm. that are like, what are you Catholics and Orthodox people fighting about? We were doing our own thing way before you.
Right, right.
You know, like the Ethiopians or the Armenian Apostolic Church or things mm-hmm. like that. So they all got their own sort of takes on things. But
I love this detour just for, I want to say, I love talking to you about this because you are an atheist.
Yes, this now. Is, although I am still Jewish.
But I want to say, you have really credentialized yourself as a person that has, nonetheless, because of your beliefs in atheism, you have nonetheless studied a lot about other religions. You're quite well versed.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in the not God eighth, and I strive to be the as athe as I can be, to be athier than thou, and maybe one day I'll be the atheist.
I'm not
apologizing for that one. Sorry.
You shouldn't.
At any rate, a lot of my study of other religions actually came well before I decided I was atheist. Mm-hmm. Without going into too many details, when I was a young teenager, I was not sure I wanted to stay Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my parents about this, and my father, being a rabbi, mm-hmm. he said, well, that is a big decision to make, and that's about the right age for you to try and make it. So make sure it's an informed decision. Start studying. We'll take you to the library. I'm old enough that when I was a teenager was pre-internet being much of a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Certainly pre-Wikipedia.
Yes.
So we really had to hit up the libraries for books that my dad didn't have.
Encyclopedia Britannica. Remember them?
I do. My father had an extensive library of religious books from other faiths. He had a couple of Christian Bibles, some mm-hmm. books by Christian scholars on Christian morality and ethics. He had a Book of Mormon. That was interesting. He had a Quran, which I read some of.
Mm-hmm. We're reading that now.
Yeah, I feel
we're in chapter like 29 now.
Bit guilty that I didn't look into it more than I did, but
there's always time.
Yeah,
you're still here. Mm-hmm. You're still here, right?
Yes, as long as my corporeal farm continues to function, I can continue to mm-hmm. do such studies. But the point is that I spent years as a teenager studying other faiths just because I was curious. And
I wish more people would do that. I mean, it's disturbing that in a country that has, you know, kind of lorded their social values and their moral values on the rest of the world and their form of democracy mm-hmm. and their form of government and freedom, whatever they deem that to be on other countries, that so few people in this country really know the foundational literature of their faith.
Or how it contradicts itself, because it does.
Yes.
And yes. Coming from a Jewish background, those contradictions were not sources of confusion or consternation or sadness. They were, ooh, let's talk about what this could mean. Because Judaism has a long, long tradition of deeply, I don't want to say argumentative, but perhaps...
Questioning.
Interrogative, investigative. Study of
questioning
the scriptures. And of the, there's the Torah, the rest of the Tanakh, and then there's what's called Midrash, which is writings of rabbis and scholars on what it could mean. There's, you know, the law called the Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically the law is called the Mishnah, and then the mm-hmm. Talmud is the explanation of the law, and then mm-hmm. there's exegesis and commentaries on the Talmud, and it's like, you look at this stuff, and you've got millennia of discussion and debate and questioning and thoughts and explorations. And when I went to college, I went to Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the only Jews there at a Lutheran school.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they would often ask, my classmates in religion classes would often ask when I'd talk about this was, okay, so what's the right answer?
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the right answer?
Yeah.
Avi, tell us, what's the right answer?
Well, it's like, no, to any particular religious question. It's like, mm-hmm. well, you know, Rabbi Hillel said this, Rabbi Shammai said this, then there was the writings of Rashi on XYZ, Maimonides had this and that mm-hmm. to say, and then Moses Mendelssohn, he had this mm-hmm. opinion, there were other writers who wrote this thing, people are still talking about it, and they say, so what was the decision? What was the answer? And I was like, we're not going to just formalize an answer just to get everyone to stop talking.
Everybody wants the simple answer, right?
Well, that's...
But the thing is that most people aren't willing to ask a lot of the questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want people to know that we want to hear what they have to say, too. We like to hear your comments, your questions. In fact, a lot of the topics that we choose for this program come from the discussions that we have, the comments that we get, the questions that we get from our listeners. So, Duke, how can people get a hold of us and let us know what they think, what kind of topics they can suggest? And
there's lots of ways for people to comment. They can actually go to our webpage at kpppfm.com. They can click on the podcast link and they can actually comment on the podcast itself.
Mm-hmm.
You can also call 701-566-0917. Leave us a message. It'll be a recorded message. We may use it on the air. Give us your name, where you live. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP. Or email us, Cindy@kpppfm.com or Duke@kpppfm.com.
That's right.
And don't forget your Facebook page.
Oh, yes.
That's right. You can also follow us on the Facebook at the People's Press Project. We share a lot of story ideas, topics, things that we see happening in our community and in the nation and in the world. So, you know.
Random bull honky that we come across.
Right. But we love to hear what people locally have to say about this stuff, and that's why we're talking about the topics that I'm sharing today.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, I don't know if you saw this, Avi, Nemo, Duke, you guys can comment, and I find it fascinating in the discussion of morality because there's been so much recently.
There was a thing I want, not to interrupt you, there was a thing I wanted to finish saying about just general idea of morality, but go
sure.
on. We can follow up with that later.
Well, the idea in this story is that, you know, there's so much been made recently about gay marriage passing as a constitutional right. And there has been all of these definitions of what is marriage and what is supposed to be the values of this country in terms of marriage and the social decay of America. I mean, we've got even presidential candidates running for the GOP that are saying that some of the natural disasters that are occurring in our country are due to the passing of gay marriage. This is the type of nonsense that we are being subjected to. So I don't think that it's irrelevant for us to ask this question. What does it mean that we have an Ashley Madison site? I don't know if you heard of this place that just recently got hacked. That has 38 million registered users.
I did hear about this. The site was, it was a hookup site that was sort of, it wasn't only for looking to have adulterous relationships, but.
But it's its primary function.
The gay marriage thing and the Ashley Madison thing, because I've seen conservative commentators talking about how natural disasters or other horrible things are the fault of this immorality.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say, and this is coming from conversations I've had with my father, again, a rabbi, so studied a lot of this stuff. That isn't nonsense per se. There's a sort of sense to it. It's not logical. It's not... it doesn't make sense according to a modern worldview, but my father called it Deuteronomic thinking.
Yeah, what's that mean?
It basically the sort of thinking that you find in the book of Deuteronomy.
Okay.
Which is that
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, we are... Deuteronomy was an early and foundational work for early Judaic moral values.
Yes, like, very, very... like lots of like numbers.
Babylonian exile to period. Like we're talking 600, 500 BCE.
A lot of lists. Yeah. Very boring.
No, that's numbers. Deuteronomy was is different.
True.
But a lot of rules. Yeah. A lot of listing of rules.
That's Leviticus and Numbers. Deuteronomy was a book with a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. The thesis was...
Why am I remembering it was boring?
maybe because it came right after the two books that were really, really boring.
Okay.
Deuteronomy, the thesis was the people exist in a world that is cruel and capricious, and we are kept safe from that by God by upholding our covenant with God to follow God's moral laws.
Okay.
And when we do not follow those moral laws, then God withdraws protection and we are at the mercy of random caprices of fate. Mm. And so someone like Pat Robertson or these other evangelical preachers or these...
Rush Limbaugh.
Limbaugh doesn't tend to be quite so religiously focused in his talk.
Oh, a lot of people that are religiously focused listen to him, though.
Yes, I know. But the people who are the GOP candidates who are talking,
or Glenn
this
Beck.
Again, Beck's more of a libertarian type modern day conspiracy.
There's a
theorist.
Lot of real reaching for the Christian crowd, though.
Perhaps, but anyway, the way that where they're coming from is that whole thought that if we allow marriage equality, same-sex marriage, then we are perverting God's law and God will withdraw protection from America and then the evils will come for us because, again, it's a matter of you don't follow moral law because it's the right thing to do and because it's pro-social behavior that promote well-being for other people and reduces harm and is good in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It's you follow the moral laws to appease God.
Right.
So that God protects us.
Right. Because otherwise it's like the brimstone and the fire and God, you know, like, well,
yeah, it's like
dogs and cats sleeping together.
Mass hysteria. Yes, exactly.
Yes, 38 million people registering on Ashley Madison. It's the end. You know, I'd like to say that when it comes to relationships, we don't have very good role models.
No.
74% of men that were polled said that they would cheat on their partner if they would never find out about it. Kind of in response to the Ashley Madison.
That was like their commercial.
Yeah, that was their commercial. It was like to be secretive and not to be honest. So when it comes to relationships, heterosexual or
mostly heterosexual.
Any relationship, we don't have very good role models, and I think that a relationship really should be sacred.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you at all, but I am going to just mention, a relationship should be respected, yes, but I think that we should draw a distinction between consensual, fully aware polyamory and cheating.
Right.
Polyamorous people who have multiple open consenting relationships with multiple partners, either in a long-term capacity or not. I have a number of friends who practice this form of relationship who, you know, they do it differently. One of them who I didn't ask her permission, so I'm not going to name her, but she self-describes as an unabashed polyamorous pervert, which always pleases me just to think about. it's a wonderful self-description, but she's fine with casual hookups. And she is legally married to, and her legal husband is also fine with casual hookups, either his or hers. And they like to meet each other's partners, but it's basically a thing where they both know, they both agree, they're both fine with it. I don't think that there is any harm.
Oh, some people are forced into those situations, too.
Oh, yeah. But I was going to get to that, too. But I don't think there's any harm with that sort of thing.
No, I mean, some people have to choose a polyamorous lifestyle by force. Because, for example, there's a border wall that divides Mexico and the United States. And a lot of people, before they made it so difficult for people to go back and forth, they used to be able to come here, work for a season, go home. Now, people have resorted to, I think I saw a statistic that there's like almost 40% of the people that are here undocumented in this country have been here for more than 10 years. Because why? They can't go back and forth anymore. And you know what those people have to do? They can't just be celibate for the rest of their lives. So the wife and kids they left back home, they have to keep. But they also start new families here. And it's just kind of an accepted life now for most people. It's not like the people back home don't realize that your husband's probably going to have another family somewhere, because that's just what you're forced to do when you create the Berlin Wall.
And maybe they, and perhaps they, the two families even come to care for each other.
Oh, definitely. It happens all the time.
But the, but without the element of force in it. And with that being accepted, that I don't think that by itself there's anything morally wrong with that. Cheating would be when you're doing it without the other partner's consent, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But the fact that, I think the fact that there's so many people who wanted to cheat specifically, because right. I know there's polyamorous hookup websites where people openly go and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm from a poly relationship. I'm looking to have a hookup with a partner, or, you know, I'm looking for another partner. But Ashley Madison's focus to me seemed to be very much on being discreet, have an affair. And, you know, maybe there was something of a...
But here's the thing. In the context of the morality of this country and the way that it is like the moral police of the world, the way that it tries to regulate women's rights and people's right to marry and have sex with who they please, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, for example, there was over 15,000 addresses that were registered on this site that came from government emails, that there was... a number of them that came out of the Federal Bureau of Prison emails, the Department of Veterans Affairs, the U.S. Postal Service, the Department of Homeland Security, 45 people in there.
Oh, God.
The Social Security Administration, the State Department, the IRS. I mean, the list goes on and on. And the thing about this is a bunch of them from whitehouse.gov email. Although I should clarify that the actual White House officials use a different domain, EOP.gov. So,
Executive Office of the President.
Right. So, but, and also they've been leaking names of specific celebrities like Josh Duggar. You know who that dude is, right?
I wish I didn't.
But you do know. For those who, can you tell them, can somebody please, Nemo, can you please explain who Josh Duggar is?
I don't know much about him. I just know that he's a gross person in general.
Tell 19 them Kids and Counting was their show. Mm-hmm. Michelle and Jim Bob. God, that's really his name. Jim Bob Duggar. Two fundamentalist, quiverful Christians from...
Are they Mormon or...
No. No, they're...
Because I was trying to figure out the...
The quiverful movement is primarily a Southern Baptist thing, I believe. But they are extreme fundamentalists from, I believe.
I've never heard that quiverful thing. It sounds weird.
It is. I can, I'll get to that. I think they're from Arkansas, but.
Okay. That sounds right.
The quiverful philosophy is that God needs arrows for his quiver and those arrows are the souls of the faithful. And so in order to fill God's quiver, to strike righteously against the evildoers, they have to have as many children as possible.
Oh, I see.
And so in the service of that ideology, Jim
Did you
Bob,
say idiot?
No, I said ideology.
Oh, okay.
Although the similarity of the words is not entirely inappropriate in this case.
Yes.
In service of this, they have been having a child a year for the last 19 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is that Michelle can keep doing that. I mean, the body's got to wear out at some point.
Oh, my goodness.
They had a reality show on TLC because TLC has long since out
I mean, isn't this a Family Channel thing? And they have the weirdest shows on this.
No, no, TLC. Formerly the Learning Channel.
Right.
Now I think it should be called TLCD for the lowest common denominator. But the same network that brought us Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Oh,
yeah.
Why would they even keep the Learning Channel as their...
They don't anymore. They just call it TLC.
But that is...
But anyway... The whole thing is that the Duggars, Jim Bob was, I believe, a state senator, and he's...
What?
Yeah, I know, but his
Did I sleep through this? I feel like Rip Van Winkle.
His whole philosophy is raise up Christian soldiers for God's army. And the whole family is very hierarchical, very strict.
Culty.
You took the word right out of my mouth. I was just about to say, I would say culty. I would also say abusive. Yeah. And that's before we found out about Josh Duggar molesting several of his sisters.
Right. And this was a guy that was walking. He was part of some Christian group that was promoting the idea that gay people are perverts.
Not only that, his mother made robocalls around the state of Arkansas when they were going to be pushing a transgender protection law.
What?
She went and made robocalls to tell people that trans people are trying to sneak into bathrooms in order to molest your children.
Ugh.
Wow.
And now look who's talking.
Yeah, well, I think that...
you know, and this is the thing, though. In the context of the conversation of morality...
I think that the Duggars come from a place, conservative Christian morality is based around the idea of we sin and then we ask for forgiveness and then everything's okay.
No, but they condemn, though. They've been condemning this entire time based on this false morality they don't actually follow.
But that's the whole thing. It's a very tribal sort of thing because they, being part of the tribe of the saved, they can sin and then they can beg God for forgiveness and everything's okay. And then anyone
who isn't, right now?
No, yeah. I'm not. Anyone who's not part of the tribe of the saved.
Is that like code word for privileged, rich, white male or like this like cocoon?
Oh, it's very much narrower than just that. But yes. This sort of notion of the elect who can do no wrong is very Calvinist in origin, but their whole perspective is if we do wrong, then it's us failing to live up to the hard task that God has put before us because our faith is so strong. We will beg God for forgiveness and then everything will be okay. Meanwhile, other people who do things that are actually not harmful to anyone, but which are against their laundry list of theological toilet training rules, they will point and say, you're going to hell, sinner, evil, immorality. And so basically it's a situation where you can have them standing behind Josh, who molested his sisters, and at the same time feeling no hypocrisy whatsoever in condemning innocent LGBT people for trying to live their lives, because the difference is Josh is one of them.
And you know what's gross about this is that they go after some of the weakest, most targeted people in society already. It's like, do transgender people need that on their list of things to have to fight against?
Well, as a trans person myself, I definitely do not need it.
It's like...
That's the only gross thing about this? Because
adding insult to injury is that they target the people that already have so much to deal with. It's like, go after the weakest target.
I would say that they're not adding insult to injury. They're the injury.
Yeah, exactly.
They're part and parcel of the injury. But Josh Duggar, I would just as soon not know that he had an Ashley Madison account.
Yeah.
Because...
Or a fake Facebook account.
I don't care.
Where he trolled women.
To be honest, I would rather he was in prison. But
yeah.
As far as the Ashley Madison leak goes, can I mention something briefly about the morality of that?
Sure.
I think that the people who did that were far more in the wrong than the people who were using the site to begin with.
The people that created it.
No. The people who broke into Ashley Madison and
hacked it.
Yeah, the hacking.
Right. Okay.
The people who created the site, the people who used the site, you can argue, I think, that there's something immoral about cheating. And I wouldn't disagree with you. Although, one of the things about cheating is that it's got a number of different sort of extenuating things that can be part of that. I mean,
it's like more moral, personal. But here's the thing that, I mean, one of the things I wanted to talk about was our moral decay as a society.
Right.
And the signs of those things, especially in government. And
I would say that the moral decay comes in when the people as a whole find it titillating and salacious and fun to act as moral scolds of these people who are using the site. And the hackers who grabbed the data and exposed it are guilty of enabling that. I think that,
I have to tell you, this is one part in my head, this little voice in my brain that's going, there are some hackers that knew there is a bunch of conservative and racist people
and hypocrites
that are going to be exposed some way through this hacking. And I got to say that whole thought is a little scintillating to me as a person that likes to look at how the exposure of these things like Josh Duggar really casts doubt on the morality of these people who are trying to dictate what that is mm-hmm. for a whole country and for other countries. And I want to talk about this more after we take a little quick break. We're going to take a little musical break here. And after this, we will come back to this topic on today's show about our moral decay as a society. And you can chime in on this discussion or stuff that we've talked about on other shows. You can find those on kpppfm.com. You can call us at 701-566-0917. Leave your name and your town. Make sure you keep it clean because we might use your comments on the air. You can also leave us a message through email at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com. Did I get that right, Duke?
You got it right.
So let's take a musical break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a show that's called The Suitcase. I want to get into what this tells us about society today in a minute. Go to that Tupac Changes.
Changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, it's life worth living, should I fix myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black, my stomach hurts, so I'm looking for cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere. Let's share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. I can the devil take a brother if he's close to me. I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Damn, yeah. I want to be, only way I've been practicing my whole life to live my life is to be responsible for what I do. I don't know how to be responsible for what every black male did. I don't know. Yes, I am going to say that I'm a thug. That's because I came from the gutter and I'm still here.
I see no changes. All I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace to racists. We under. I wonder what it takes to make this one better place. Let's erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white.
and white and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes skill to be real, time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling crack to the kid,
I gotta get paid.
Well, hey, well that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Actor Tupac Shakur,
this 25-year-old rapper had long been criticized.
Shakur is also charged with weapons. Shakur has two words to say about charges that he sexually abused a 20-year-old woman. Not guilty.
To survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did it, I ain't have to do. But now back with the facts, giving it back to you. Let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pips smack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this when they try to rush this. That's the sound of my You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
You're my brother, you're my sister.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Never change.
Changes by Tupac. This is Cindy Gomez Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez Shemp.
Me and Mosa Kados.
Avi Blackmore.
That's right, and you're listening to KPPPLPFM. We're adding local color to your airwaves. We're broadcasting live on 365, and soon you'll be able to find us on your dial at 88.1 FM right here in the Fargo-Moorhead region.
You can contact us at 701-566-0917. Leave a message. Give us your name, where you live, and keep it clean. We may use it on the air. Or you can tweet us at @media_PPP. Email us at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com.
And we have an exciting announcement to make that I forgot to mention at the top of the show. And that is that we are going to start a new Spanish language program every Sunday at 6 p.m. called Sabor Latino. And for our very first show, we took a whack at Trump.
Oh, yeah.
So tell your friends who speak Spanish. They will want to listen in. It was a really fun show. We did that with Yastin Beltran. And you know Yastin, Avi.
I believe I met her, yes.
Yes. And so it was a really great show. I highly recommend it. Even if you don't speak Spanish well, if you learn some Spanish and you like Spanish music, you should listen in. It's going to be a fun show. Today's topic is our moral decay. And we were talking about, you know, what's been happening in our country and with this conservative bent on focusing on our moral decay. I wanted to bring up this Ashley Madison site and the hack and that happened. And you wanted to tell me a little bit more about that before we moved on to the briefcase.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to add to what we'd already said was that I think it comes down again to the more conservative version of morality versus a more progressive version of morality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that proper, yes, I'm biased, properly progressive morals are about enabling people to live well and promoting well-being and diminishing harm and enabling people to live together. And it's not necessarily about purity or about conforming to a particular pattern of rules that might promote a particular social hierarchy. It's not so much the whole, oh, just do your own thing that the hippies were associated with, but that's sort of a beginning for it.
Mm-hmm.
But from a progressive moral standpoint, the Ashley Madison thing was immoral in the sense that by leaking the information, they damaged people who might have been vulnerable to being damaged. Because there's a number of reasons. Cheating isn't really a moral thing to do. I think everyone would agree. But
sure,
I'm inclined to think that
I'm just going to say, I just recently heard the statistic that I found really interesting. It said that 80% of women who are in long-term relationships, this is, you know, those marriages that you hear about on the Smucker's commercials, on they talk about, you know, 25 years, 30, 80% of those women have a crush on another man.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear about the large number of men, almost 80%, that said that they would cheat if they wouldn't get caught. I mean, the traditional standard view of a woman and a man in a relationship for life, how believable is it? And also, how real is it as a moral standard when so many people are saying this about how they feel? And half of relationships, or even more than half, end in divorces now?
Right. I think I was just going to say that I don't think that monogamy by itself is a moral good. I don't think it's a moral evil either. It's just a way of pursuing relationships. And if it's done honestly and kindly and properly, with respect, properly, I should clarify, with respect towards all the partners involved, polyamory or monogamy can both be equally moral. The thing I was going to say about cheating, though, is while I would consider cheating to be immoral since it involves lying and disrespecting your partner.
Right.
But I would say that you might have to temper that with consideration for why they cheated.
Mm-hmm.
If someone cheats because they just are bored with their partner, well, that might be indicative of a need to communicate better with their partner about their needs.
Right. Definitely.
But on the other hand, if they're cheating because they're desperate for some real companionship because their partner is abusive and they want to maybe find a way to get out, I'm not going to judge that person the same way as I might judge, say, a wealthy senator who is just cheating on his wife because he feels entitled to it, or a wealthy fundamentalist Christian activist who molested his sisters and is cheating on his wife because he thinks that he's God's favorite and can do no wrong. And that was, again, a Josh Duggar reference.
Yeah.
And what you said, but the immorality of that, I think, comes back to invading the privacy of these people's lives. And you could talk about, well, you know, a lot of them were government workers. And my response would be, by itself, so what? I mean, government is people.
Well,
but
I would say, so what is this? Because not just people. No, the majority of the people in government and in power are not just people. They're usually male and they're usually white.
True. Right, right.
So they don't represent a whole of the people.
True.
And although they are human, they don't adequately represent power. And power usually has never been given to women and has usually never been given to women of color. Although morality has been dictated upon both of those groups quite heavily, especially by conservatives.
I'm not disagreeing at all.
So I find it, when I see that, I'm like, hey, the way I see it is every time I turn on the news and there's some more talk about thugs and criminals and dehumanization of the most recent hashtag victim of police killing of an unarmed person of color, I think, hey, look at this. This is a country, these services, these positions, when I see all of those government emails, when I see all of these powerful people emails, I know who the majority of them are that they're leaking. They're white males. They sit in a position of privilege, and they usually are the ones that are pontificating and creating policy for those of us lesser than that don't have those positions of power. And so, yes, it does tell me something about morality in this country and how it's dictated from those who have the position to sit in and comfortably look down upon those that don't and say, this is what you have to do. Let them eat cake.
I also want to chime in and add on to this idea of morality and cheating and polyamory. I remember reading a little anecdote from someone who talked about a couple. There was this guy, and he wanted to meet, you know, hot chicks and everything, and his girlfriend was fat. And so they talked it over, and they decided to have open relationships. Now, this guy, he didn't get any dates, but his girlfriend was getting plenty of hot guys to date her, and then he wanted to close the relationship.
Because he felt that
threatened.
What he really wanted was for him to be able to date thinner girls that were more conventionally attractive.
Exactly.
Because he felt that his girlfriend being fat meant that she wasn't fitting the definition of attractive that he had been programmed with by society.
Right.
Therefore, he felt ashamed of it. And when he saw that, in fact, she was getting lots of attention and lots of action, and meanwhile he wasn't, it threatened his sense of masculinity as
yes.
well as his sense of...
privilege.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And can I just say here, speaking as a man...
That's right, you are.
Yeah. is it just me, or is masculinity the most fragile thing?
Oh my goodness, yes.
I mean, and in its protection and in the service of its reinforcement, so much evil is done without a second thought.
Rape culture. We just did a whole show about this.
Where can
people find our other podcasts?
Well, you can go to kpppfm.com and go to our podcast link and listen to the other ones. And we did talk about that. And when you say fragile, you coupled that with...
We did a ball buster episode.
Yeah, we did a ball buster. It's actually, we covered a lot of this in ball buster.
Well, I'm just glad to give a call back to that then. I won't go into it. You probably...
I didn't cover it all, of course. No. There's a lot of balls that could be busted.
That's right. And a lot of our shows really... If you listen to the show before, the next show is going to have aspects of what we talked about before. It's almost like you go back to the first one and you're going to have a history of a lot of the things we actually bring up.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like everything's all
connected,
a whole sort of general mishmash.
That's right. Yes.
But as far as I understand what you're saying about the people from the government who are from a generally white male, cisgendered, often Christian, often upper middle class at the least, if not upper class, mm-hmm. position of power. They've been in a position where they've been dictating the standards of morality to the rest of society for a long time, and then they can't even follow their own damn rules. Well, I understand why your Schaden would be Freuding at that.
Mm-hmm.
Mine sure is. That is not how you use that word, by the way.
I am
well aware
of this.
I see
what you did there.
And I'm doing it on purpose. So
yes. Please
no one comment with, that's wrong. You can't do that with that word.
We can do what we want.
Unless you're an actual German. And then you can write in and say, hey, what did the German language ever do to you?
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, there is a German in the room.
That's right.
But other than that... At any rate, I think at the same time, though, part of me is just underwhelmed at the whole notion that the immorality we're catching them on is personal sexual peccadilloes again. Because that's the area of morality that the Christian right focuses on so much. And personally, as a progressive, I would like to focus morality more on the notion of the harm we do to others.
Oh, and I think it's a beautiful sentiment. But at the end of the day, we are lambasted. The weak and the meek are lambasted with the moral views of the powerful. And it's just, it's hypocritical. I mean, it's kind of like emperor has no clothes, okay?
Oh, sure.
Book closed.
But I'd like to also point out that aside from the emperor having no clothes, the emperor is also hurling feces at everyone in sight.
Exactly.
That, I might care a little bit more about that. I mean,
that
your
is
mileage
what I care
may
about.
Vary.
No, I do. That is totally my purview. I'm trying to point that hypocrisy out because I think that, you know, even in these discussions, we've been having a lot of discussions about new immigrants flooding this community on our media. And I think that the discussion with Trump and immigrants and the way that hatred is hurled at certain sectors of society, whether it's because they're gay or because they're immigrants or whatever, I think that those are real signs of moral decay. Those things speak to me as cracks in the wall, but these do too. I think these kind of show that these folks, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. I mean, I don't know. Am I the only one that thinks this?
Perhaps.
I'd like to...
No, that it really bothers me too. The hypocrisy is the biggest thing. You know, the hack, you know, Avi brought up some really good points about the invasion of privacy, but at the same time, the people that are getting exposed are people dictating to other people the way their lives should be.
I see. I don't feel that sorry for them. I don't feel that sorry for them.
Many of them are. Some of them might not be, though. I mean, yeah. We don't know all the identities of everybody.
Like, let me give you an example. You know, there's been these different ex-cops that have come forward and they've said, you know, like, we used to like beat people up and plant drugs on them and we put plant weapons on them. And now they're coming clean because something was done to them, you know, and now they're whistleblowing. And I appreciate whistleblowers a lot.
You wonder, where the hell were you before?
Exactly. I mean, come on, really, should I not?
No.
I mean, I don't feel like it's too much to say, okay, but you built that personal hell for other people too.
Right.
So why should you get a walk from it? Because you didn't have no problem with it before when you were subjecting other people to it.
Sure. But...
I mean, again, someone say that was karma. I mean, I'm saying
maybe I have no intention of telling you that your feelings are invalid in any way. But as far as hypocrisy goes, I know that American media is big on talking about hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I almost find myself wanting to attack the issues from a different angle than just hypocrisy, partly because I think that hypocrisy is almost the human condition.
Oh yes. But here's the thing. In the power structure in which one party has no, I can't assert my morality. I can't, as a person of color, I can't stand on my ego, my morality and my history and pontificate about how I come from the Sisters of the Revolution and blah, 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 and say that we're Protestants of this many generations and we never have been arrested and all of our ancestors worked for everything they had. I can't do that kind of BS that white folks do, that homesteaders do, that all these folks do, because everyone that I know of has a family member that's been profiled, that's been put in prison, that has had to have an abortion, that's had somebody that was raped or murdered, that has had tragedy and heartache in their lives because of the condition of being a poor person without power in a racist society. And that's not something I can control. Mm. But when you're talking about these two power structures of morality, where this group of people that don't have those things on them, they can pontificate however wrong they might have been at the time, however unfair it is that now karma has kind of done a little reach around and poked them in the back and said, it's your turn, right?
I can see that.
I still think, hey, you were part of the system grinding people under its wheels, dude.
Right. I think where I was going with this, though, was it's not that the hypocrisy isn't bad. It's that I think it's almost a symptom of something worse, because you mentioned that this was a crack in the wall of or indicative of moral decay.
Mm-hmm.
Given the history of this country with its system of racial
hierarchy
of white supremacy, for a long time male supremacy, which is still
straight supremacy, all of these things, and a very classist society too, for all that the American dream myth is, we've tried to pretend that that's not the case. We're still in many ways very classist. Given that fact, and given the horrendous violence and horrendous pain and misery wrought on anyone who didn't conform to the expectations of the topmost echelons of that society, I would have to say moral decay implies that there was a moral to decay.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And if you adopt the progressive view of morality that I was talking about earlier, what morals did this society really have to lose? It's more like a decay of the expectations of the social hierarchy and a revelation of the hypocrisy of the upholders of that hierarchy. If anything, I would say that the only ways in which our society has become more moral are those ways in which we've started to move away from respecting that social hierarchy.
Those are very good points. Boy, you deepen the conversation. It's wonderful having you on.
Aw, shucks.
I'm going to tell people what they're listening to. They're listening to KPPP LPFM. We're broadcasting online through live365.com, and we're soon going to be on the Fargo-Moorhead FM airwaves at 88.1, woo-hoo, adding local color to your airwaves. You can get a hold of us many ways, but we'd like you to give us a call at 701-566-0917. It's a message line. You can just leave your name, where you live, leave us a message. We may use it on the air. You can tweet us at @media_PPP or email us Cindy@KPPPFM.com or Duke@KPPFM.com. Wait, I forgot a P. Duke@KPPPFM.com.
You didn't say that you forgot 2P. You said you forgot AP.
That's right.
I just wanted to clarify that for folks because it went by really quickly.
Yes.
And today's show is about our moral decay as a society. I do want to get to our next topic. We actually had a couple more, but I'm going to kind of gloss over this next one sort of quick, because I do want to talk a little bit about what our presidential candidate situation is in this country as well.
Exciting.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It's a clown car. It's kind of like a clown car.
See, I think that the clowns would actually resent the association.
Oh, quick clowning around there.
Unless, of course, we're talking about evil clowns like Pennywise.
Oh, God. They're scary. I'm terrified of Trump. I don't know. I really am. There was this, we just did this Spanish show. By the way, we're going to be doing Sabor Latino, a show in Spanish. Our first show we just did will be airing on Sunday. So tell your friends that speak Spanish to listen to that. We ripped Trump.
You said you took a whack at him the last
time
you brought that up?
Like the pinata.
Yeah, I read that they actually started making Donald Trump pinatas in...
And butt plugs.
Yes.
Oh, there is one.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's... yeah.
They're like $27 on Amazon. It's a great stocking stuffer. I recommend it.
I don't think it's the stocking that it's meant to stuff. But...
one of those people that just go on and on that you really feel like needs one of those.
That's right.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, if I can whip out a little German again, I know a few good words. Donald Trump, I think, really has what in German is called a Backpfeifengesicht, which translates as a face badly in need of a fist.
Yes.
But I'm not that I'm actually advocating violence against him, at least not directly. If you want to get a Trump pinata and whack that.
Definitely. Or you can also get a Trump butt plug and give it to one of those people that you think deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anyone I hate that much.
I can. Anyway, moving on. I'm not going to disclose any names. I want to talk about this one show. Okay, everybody has been outraged by this show called The Briefcase. And I tried to explain it to you earlier, but I'm going to give you a little rundown of what they do.
Oh, I remember this.
So there's this briefcase, and they give $100,000 or so to two families. And each family has a horrible story.
like they're a veteran that just got back from Iraq and they don't have a leg, or somebody in their family is going through cancer, and they have to, they pit these two families against each other in like a Hunger Games style show.
Yeah, it's really disgusting, but yeah, it's, I believe, if I recall correctly, that, you know, yeah, these two families have horrible stories, and in the briefcase that they're given, they can take the money inside it, and, you know...
Don't they get $100,000? Isn't that what they are actually getting in there, Nemo?
Something like that, if not more. but then they can take that money and then rebuild their lives accordingly. Or they can give it to the other family, which makes them feel really bad if they take it, even though they both need it. And it's just really cruel to, you know, toy with these people's lives like that.
Now I know why I didn't watch that show. I saw it advertised, but I really haven't watched it at all.
We tried to watch one of the shows, but it was really disturbing how
the way
most of the show, the people were crying because they were finding more and more about the other family, and they had their own need. You know, like they're like, oh, we
need
this
money
so terribly.
It was their need versus their guilt and everything else. And, you know, on the Tumblr spirit, you know, it's just really disgusting because this is basically entertainment for the rich white folk who don't have to, like, you know, think about this sort of poverty.
Reality television is the Panemit Circenses of the modern...
Is it our moral decay, Avi?
I would actually think that is an example of another phenomenon I've read about recently, which is, we were talking about classism earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The different classes in America have different morals. Not just in terms of, you know, how they conform to a particular moral code. They have different moral codes. I've been reading a number of articles about this. This sounds to me like the entertainment is for the wealthy, as Nemo said.
Mm-hmm.
The wealthy and the middle class, the increasingly shrieking middle class, but the middle class nonetheless, and the poor all have different moralities.
Do you really think that rich people are watching these shows?
Definitely. It's kind of like, you know, a sick, you know,
oh, definitely.
Show for them.
Really?
I believe so. And, you know.
Because I mean, it harkens back to the arena days when they would make the gladiators go into the, and then they were just, this was consumption for the poor.
Here's where I'm coming from with this one.
Honey Boo Boo, Duck Dynasty. I just want to say that.
Yeah, those are aimed at a different... Those are, again, aimed at the middle and upper classes to mock the poor. The morality that I've read about... I've read several articles from places like Mother Jones and... I think I saw one linked from Raw Story and The Nation and Atlantic, places like that. Mm-hmm. They had discussions on what is the general moral code of the poor... Mm-hmm. What is the general moral code of the middle class? What's the general moral code of the wealthy in this country? The poor tend to have a very communitarian, we're all in this together. We all need to help each other out because none of us have much.
Mm-hmm.
Tribal
kind of like
community center. No, I wouldn't say tribal. I would say communitarian.
Okay.
Tribal has negative connotations of...
Really?
Of only those within my group are the ones I care about and everyone else can go screw. That's more of a wealthy thing, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The poor, from these articles, it was generally... The poor have an attitude of, I need to get by, but whatever I can do to help my fellows get by as well helps all of us. So we have a responsibility to each other because it's the only way we're going to survive. The middle class, you find some of that attitude along, but with the traditional middle class morality was, we all do what we can to help out, but we all have to watch out for ourselves. We're responsible for our own welfare, but charity is a good thing to do. And we want to try and better ourselves and, you know, the American dream thing.
Mm-hmm.
The wealthy... Their morality, and that's in air quotes, their morality is sociopathic.
Yeah.
Their belief is wealth...
Digest people.
Wealth is a sign of virtue.
Right.
Wealth is divinely provided. You know, there are some...
And wealth is a sign that you are the chosen.
Yes, exactly. The elect of God was the Calvinist ideal,
right,
which still shows up in a lot of
prosperity gospel,
yep,
type.
Mm-hmm. Wealthy morality in this country, the code by which they live is, we who are the wealthy need to keep everyone else down.
Okay, so here's
and there's exceptions, but I wanted to
bring you into this wealthy makes might, this wealth makes might idea.
Wealth makes right, you mean?
Wealth makes right and Trump, because this guy, he really does talk about his wealth a lot. I mean, this is like probably his, I don't know, he touts it as if it were a job qualification for the presidency, that he has a lot of money and that he runs a business.
Yeah, and Trump, I mean, a lot, and you know, when I say that this is the moral code of the wealthy, I'm talking in generalities. I mean, there's exceptions.
Sure.
But Trump, I think, is an extreme case, because Trump, I think, is an actual pathological malignant narcissist. And
there's so many people like him. I mean, how far away is Huckabee? And honestly, how far away is Bobby Jindal? And honestly, how far away is Ted Cruz? And while we're at it, I could go on and on. How about
Jeb
Rick
Bush?
How about Perry?
I would
Perry
say
Perry is crazy. Perry is nuts.
Yes, but I would say that...
I mean, it's just that you got super crazy compared to...
Medium crazy.
Super crazy. And then, you know, like, if you take this gigantic crazy and you compare it to these other crazies, it's like, oh, yeah.
There's this old Far Side cartoon. You remember the Far Side?
I loved
it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah.
There was this old cartoon where it showed a group of scientists standing in front of what was apparently a one-way mirror... On the other side of which was a bunch of really foolish looking people. And they said, yes, they're all, and one of them is saying, yes, they're all fools, gentlemen. But the question remains, what kind of fools are they? And so I would say that, you know, me saying Trump is an extreme version because he's a malignant narcissist, that doesn't mean I approve of any of those other guys or that they're not all
malignant narcissists.
Well, they might have their own different things going on.
You got to admit, Huckabee.
Huckabee, I think his issue is different. But look, I'm not qualified to diagnose.
He had a show, and he loves having black people come on his show, and he plays guitar with them, and then he bashes on black people whenever he can. This guy is so creepy. Oh,
yes,
I don't disagree. Rick Perry, this guy likes to kill people in his state.
I know, I know. I'm not saying that they're
in... Pro-gun,
you know, when
sicko.
When I say that Trump... strikes me as a malignant narcissist. I'm not saying that this makes him worse than these others. I'm saying that it's a particular manifestation of a particular type of the evil that we're talking about here.
I disagree with you, buddy. I mean, I love you, Avi, but I just got to say, he looks like the king of the village he runs.
That might be fair. But anyway, as far as Trump goes, I think Trump obviously believes... I think he has to believe that his wealth makes him virtuous, that his wealth makes him good, that his wealth makes him qualified, because his wealth, if you look at his history, is literally the only thing he has.
Right.
I mean, he has gone bankrupt 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
All of the business ventures that he's tried to run have ended in disaster. Mm-hmm. He has had... nothing but disaster in his personal life. His mm-hmm. wife divorced him rather spectacularly in the early 90s.
And recently he denied that marital rape is a thing.
Yes, yes, I know.
Through his attorney.
He's a total creep towards his daughter. Yes. He has very few friends, if any. He has absolutely no... knowledge of anything. I mean,
he was trying to talk about morality about gay marriage, and this guy's been married like, is it 3 times now?
I heard it was 4.
I don't even care how many times.
Exactly.
My point is, he has nothing going on upstairs. Mm-mm. He doesn't even have good hair. Rick Perry at least has good hair.
He does.
I mean, Molly Ivins called him Governor Goodhair because that was all he had going for him.
So
and
did
Trump doesn't even have that.
Yeah.
All that Trump has is his wealth, and the only reason he is wealthy is because he inherited the money that he started investing with and that was sociopathic enough to bail on all of his investments before they went bankrupt because he, like many of the wealthy investing class, have the brains of dryer lint and don't actually know what's a good investment. They just do whatever sounds good.
He's like George W. and he's like Palin.
See, I think that that is a dire insult to both George W. and Sarah Palin.
Oh, come
on. No, they're terrible people. But
and stupid people. And they think that they hit a home run because they were born on third base. That's the people that we're talking about here.
Yes, it is. And I don't disagree that they're awful people. But
I mean, they're the plantation owners that think that all this wealth that they done earned.
Uh-huh.
That's what they are.
But at the very least... At the very least, you could say, no, actually, you know what? I'm thinking about it. George W. Bush, like Donald Trump, I think the basic difference between Donald Trump and George W. Bush, now that I really think hard, is that George W. Bush at least had enough native cunning to...
What?
Give me... Hold on here. I didn't say smart. I said cunning. To dress up his sociopathy in a sort of folksy self-deprecating charm. It's thin stuff.
I don't think he even practiced that. That is his folksy way.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is he's less of an overt blowhard than Donald Trump. And I think...
You know who I really want to hear you compare? Compare the two people that really need to be compared. Donald Trump and David Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a real comparison
that
should be made here.
That,
they're more similar in many
true.
Ways.
True. The only thing I would say is David Duke has better hair.
Yeah.
Also, he has better fashion sense because those clan robes.
Oh, God, oh, yeah.
You know, they've got a certain style.
It's almost popey, aren't they?
The whole Grand Dragon and Wizard thing
is...
Oh, God.
Just,
If they weren't horribly racist, I would say they sound like a LARPing group. Trump is the unleashed id of the far right. And
I don't know that it's that far... He's the front runner for the GOP, and I didn't say the Tea Party.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. The GOP is a far right party now. You know,
well, then we got to say that because that. I mean,
I is
when you say he's the far right, you need to say
the
there
GOP.
there is no center on the right anymore.
Yeah,
was there
much.
Ever?
Yes, the Eisenhower years. We have to go back a long time. And I would say that currently the situation in this country is that we have a centrist party, the Democrats, and we have a far right party with an outright neo-fascist wing. And right now we'd have no left in this country that, or rather we have... not had a left party in this country for a long time.
I have to bring you to our next topic of D's nuts. He's trying to bring in a third party.
That's right.
You have to give us a commentary. He's actually running with some numbers in some states.
D's nuts.
Wasn't it mentioned also that he's doing even better in Minnesota?
I think he scored like 10% in Minnesota.
Tell people who this is, please.
Okay. D's nuts. It's from a Vine meme online, but some enterprising wag of a 15-year-old down in Iowa,
home state,
registered a independent candidate by the name of D's Nuts in several states in the primaries.
Awesome.
And he's been polling at about... You know, low, but, you know, 9% in South Carolina, 10% in Minnesota.
North Carolina, though. Yeah, it was North Carolina.
Oh, no, I thought it was South Carolina.
I know.
No, it was North.
Okay.
I know a couple of people who have just been, like, you know, laughing like crazy about it.
Yeah,
so.
But, you know, you've seen 1776. North Carolina defers to South Carolina. At any rate, it's obviously a joke.
He actually said he wanted to bring in a third party. That's why I brought it up right now. You're talking about how many parties we got. One is a centrist party, the Democrats. He said The Republicans are now a right wing fringe party.
Uh-huh.
What is this guy doing here?
I think D's Nuts is following in the grand tradition of joke parties from other countries. Because a number of countries that are not United States and are not as nearly... not nearly as anal retentive about their politics, have had joke parties. And
well, he actually had a page you could go to and a platform on it, and it stated a pretty libertarian, an anti-immigrant, by the way.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
Well,
but, I mean, he stated some real things, and he said the whole purpose of what he did was not as a joke. He said he was trying to bring in a third party. What do you think about that?
I think he's 15 years old.
I think he's nuts. He's nuts. I
Nicely done.
We'll have those links so people can find these stories along with this podcast on kpppfm.com. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about our moral decay in America. And D's Nuts.
I would say D's Nuts is not an indication of moral decay per se, so much as...
If that's a serious topic in a political campaign in America... I have to disagree with you. I mean,
if I let me explain.
How
why.
Is that even news?
I think that, frankly, Americans.
I'm expecting a goat to run for office next week, and for that to be a serious topic in American news.
Hey, as long they should run several goats. They should run goat A, goat B, and goat C. Just for, by the way, if you're tuning in, do not Google goat C. Do not.
Oh but, my God, you're too much fun.
As far as D's Nuts goes, he says now that he's getting attention. Well, I'm not just doing it for a joke. I don't believe him. No. I do think that the fact that he posted a platform that sounds very libertarian.
But you believe that Trump is really running for office?
He could be trolling. I mean, Trump is enough of a...
My theory is that he's a plant so that he humanizes the rest of the party and that they're going to give him kickbacks and contract deals and let him keep running his sham businesses and casinos.
That's what the Republican primaries have been for years. Mm-hmm. You know why Huckabee keeps running? Because he gets a lot of money for it.
I'm sure.
I mean, Huckabee doesn't think he has a prayer.
No. Some of these guys got to know there's no chance.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann may have actually thought that she was really going to win something. I don't know about her. Some of the candidates, though, the perennial candidates, they're milking the campaigns as a cash cow. And I could see Trump doing the same thing. As far as D's Nuts goes, there's a tradition in other countries of having joke parties.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is D, and I can't read this 15-year-old kid's mind. But he probably thought D's Nuts would be a funny joke. And then when people started actually calling him and he got attention about it, he thought, well, hey, maybe I can actually be serious about it. In which case I said, come on, have the courage of your convictions. Get up there and declare that your platform is what you're standing on. Come out in favor of repealing the law of gravity.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
No, I mean, they interviewed him. They tried to get a hold of him and they said, he would only respond by emails because he said that, you know, school starting and he's got to get back to school. And all of the stuff that he talked about was that he really did this to try to bring in a third party because he feels that there really is. And true. I have to say, in our last show, was it in our last show we did a yay and a nay where Nemo and the Lizard, they talked about what they want for from a candidate.
Yeah.
And what they want people doing to represent us, people of color, queer, disabled people, not just the typical GOP candidate, but like the rest of America, right?
Or even the white progressive.
Or even the white progressive. So, I mean, these are topics that I think we need to start having more discussions about. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated today's discussion. You've been listening to KPPPLPFM. Thank you for being on today's show, Avi.
Not a problem. I'd like to come back sometime.
That would be great. We'd love to have you again.
You are so awesome. You're just like, you know everything. And
not everything.
And you're also just super fun to talk to about this stuff.
Ah, you're making me squirm. Stop it.
Well, we will have you back on the show squirming once again.
Okay.
we have a lot of different ways for people to get a hold of us. Check out this podcast, share others on kppfm.com. And we're going to leave you today with Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to reap. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate. A time of war, a time of peace. A time you may embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. Everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time for love, a time for hate. A time for peace, I swear it's not too late.